Brother Kent asked if I would give introduction, and I said there's no introduction necessary. But anyway, greetings and welcome today to a time where we worship the Creator that changes the times and the seasons. I love that. Love that verse. He changes the times and the seasons. Now, I just asked Makoto, I said, what time is it in Japan? It just turned over New Year's. It's just 7 minutes after the New Year. And we live in an amazing world and an incredible design. And you think of the other side of the world and you think of them celebrating the New Year. But we've come to worship the Lord and I got to quit rambling. But Brother Makoto, in a way, from Japan, our son-in-law, they lived here in Indianapolis. They've been in Japan about 4.5 years, and so he has come back, and so we're thankful for that. And it is, I remember this past summer, we had the privilege of being in Japan, and walking to church. It's about a 10-minute walk to church from where Makoto and Anna live. And I was just sweating. I mean, I remember walking in church and just from that walk. And it was, it was in the 90s and just sweating. And so it's a little different this morning coming to church. You know, just isn't that amazing how, the seasons change and the times change, but our God does not change. And that's awesome. And whenever I think of Makoto and Anna, I always think that Indianapolis is not the same without them. But Japan's not the same with them. So we're glad that they're back. And Brother Makoto is going to share this morning the word. So be prayerful. And we look forward to God's message this morning.
Greetings. It is a privilege to gather together this morning and see familiar faces. Some I have not seen, some probably for the first time I see. But I greet you in the name of the Lord. He is active from the beginning, or I don't know when the beginning exactly is. God has always been there, right? But I'm very, very thankful that we can worship together and we can open the message that he has sent to us, the Bible and about Jesus Christ. Let us open this morning. I'd like to read from Judges chapter 6. So this is I do this often in our Tokyo church because not many are really well trained or have even heard of the gospel, and so when we open the Bible, we often try to give some kind of a context, and that kind of actually helps me to put my mind at ease and think about what the text is actually saying. So just to say a few things about the context or what time of the history this is. This is a couple hundred years after they came out of Egypt. Moses, as we all know, didn't quite get to go into the promised land, but he led the Israelites into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Then his next successor, Joshua, led them in and fought with the people there, and they conquered portions of it, and that was their inheritance from God. They divided that land into portions of according to the tribes of Israel, and it got split into 12 different pieces. But after that, they didn't necessarily have a real strong structure as a nation or very organized matter, what we consider as what we would think right now a nation would be. You have borders and you have leadership and so forth. But this time, God brought up different leaders called judges. And they were before God started allowing kings rule Israel. They were judges, prophets, that would sort of govern or sort of deliver the message of God to the Israelites. This morning I would like to read Judges 6:11. This is about Gideon. At this time, Israel is being kind of under siege, or they're not really in a peaceful situation because of the Midianites. Midianites were people that lived in the wilderness, and they would come and basically plunder their land or attack their land and take their fruits or take away their harvest. And so Israel was having a hard time. And the reason behind it, why that happened, as you all know, always in the Old Testament when Israelites are in a difficult situation, it's because they forgot God's law. They forgot to obey Him. They started worshiping local idols, and they took their focus off God. That's when that happens, nations fall, and we certainly see that. That has happened in Israel here. But they're under siege and they can't, go about their day without fear of Midianites attacking them or taking away their harvest, their assets. So that's kind of the background. And so here we go, verse 11, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. I'll go ahead and read a few verses from here. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash the Abizite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then shalt shew me a sign that thou shalt talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went on and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put both in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of Abiezites. Sorry, I'm not a good reader here. Takes me a long time to go through this particular section. But this is how Gideon kind of sort of was commissioned to do God's work. He was a farmer trying to survive with Midianites being around him, all over them. He was using a wine press, which I don't know exactly how it looked like, but from what I understand, it's like a pit, and where people would step on the grapes, and it would be something that they would make wine. It was a system that they would make wine. Well, he was using that to thresh wheat. As far as I understand, it's a process to get grain out of wheat. But the reason he was using that is because he could hide from Midianites, right? He that was the way he could sort of provide for his family in a hidden way without being attacked, and he could sort of provide for his family. And I just wonder what Gideon thought of his situation or where his nation was at. And naturally, as the angel visits him, or in this case, I believe it's the angel that visits him, that says, you will be the one that would deliver Israel from the Midianites. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. And he thought, well, if I was going to do such great work, then why am I in this pit threshing wheat? I think that would be a natural thought. He said, God has forsaken us. That's why we're in this situation. Although he doesn't necessarily understand why, or he doesn't necessarily say here that it's because we failed in obeying, or we failed in remembering who God is and in following his laws. But he looked at his present situation and just said, if God was with us, then we won't be in this predicament or in this difficult situation. How could it be? And incredibly, from what I see here, is that God, if in other places of the Bible, it seems like God wants whoever he calls there to be, I don't know, doesn't it say question? Maybe I'm just misremembering here, but that he wouldn't ask his people to question that he had called him, right? Called Gideon to serve. But in this case, as I read here, he shows tremendous amount of mercy to Gideon. Not only did he actually shows him a miracle as he brings this food to this rock, and I think that was a custom at the time. Whoever there was a visitor, you give him food. But he actually showed him a miracle that it just burns up, you know, on this rock. Points a rod and it burns up. And Gideon thought that was the first time he realized that the person he was talking to actually had something. He was actually from God at that time. So up to that point, the conversation is like, yeah, you said that, but you probably are not serious, or I don't know who you are. And then this angel basically shows that this is supernatural. This is not an ordinary thing. And then that's when Gideon realized it's from God, and he is terrified. He's terrified that he actually questions, and he's terrified he actually saw someone, I guess angel or a man of God. And And the story goes on here. It's a really fascinating story. And maybe some of you already have read it as I was kind of stumbling through. But he destroys this altar, altar of Baal, and I believe some kind of an Asherah pole or something along those lines. He destroys it because God commands him to do so. But he does it in the night. He doesn't do it in broad daylight. He does it in the night because he's kind of afraid what people think, or he didn't want any repercussion. He was trying to sort of kind of do God's will, kind of do God's work here on the one hand, and then sort of still keep his man, you know, trying to keep a profile, man's, I guess, reputation, I suppose. He just didn't want to stand out as a person who's going to do this. And so I'm looking at this, and he doesn't fit the normal profile of the Old Testament leaders, or even New Testament for that regard, that was so bold and so, I don't know, convinced from very get-go. I don't think he was really convinced. I don't think Gideon was really convinced that he was supposed to do God's work. He was kind of like, I'll do what I'm asked to, but help me to sort of kind of stay in my own world. I don't want to go and be uncomfortable. Anyway, that's what I read. But yet, what's so fascinating is that even though he questioned a lot of things about how God called him, or he questioned why God would choose him to lead him, use him to lead Israel. Nonetheless, he eventually, God blesses him, that he eventually drives Midianites out of the land. Of course, you know the whole, the fleece, you know, a sign that he asked for, which is another thing that he's testing God almost. There's another segment here in chapter 7 that he actually, God tells him that, oh, they'll run away from you. He's like, but if you want to go check, you can go check and find out what they're saying. And he actually goes down there and check to find out what they're saying about him. So, I guess Gideon, as he's a hero, yes, but he was also very doubting of God's calling. I think that can happen in each one of our lives. I think that can happen. Does God really care about me? Does he really want me to do this? Would he really lead me? Is he really with me? I think that happens. Is he really in this situation? Every time I think we face trials, I think we think that. I think that crosses our mind. At least it does to me. Maybe it doesn't to you. It certainly does for me. It's like, am I in this situation because I didn't pray? Or because I just didn't consult God? I thought I did. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Is it real? I think these things run through our minds. It did certainly for Gideon too. But God knew that would be Gideon. Right? He knew Gideon would be kind of that kind of character. Wouldn't be that strong. He allowed that weakness, yet he used that to sort of kind of guide him through. That's what's so remarkable about the story of Gideon, I think. Because God used this such timid man. Yes, he was talented. He was able to think through and organize and do great things. But he was kind of timid. He was very much doubting. But God would still use him, even though he had those weaknesses. Anyway, I certainly appreciate this story. Let us sing from Zion's harp and pray and read the New Testament. We sing Zion's harp in Japan, but our numbering system is a little different. And I'm not sure, so I'm somewhat blindly picking here, but 177. If this is something, okay. If not, then he can choose something else. Good. Father in heaven, we are grateful this morning that we can gather together in this house of prayer, and we see many faces in the congregation joining and worshiping together, reading through your word and pondering upon how you have led the Israelites and how you continue to lead us, dear Father, and just desiring to learn and know you more, dear Father. It is a privilege to have that opportunity, dear Father. We are blessed, indeed blessed people, that we have the Bible in our hands, we have the ability to read, and we have fellow believers to guide us through and encourage one another, dear Father. We are very blessed in that sense. There are many people in the world, dear Father, that have never had a chance to open the Bible, hear of the gospel, and hear the name of Jesus. We are so blessed that we can, dear Father. I pray that we don't take that for granted, dear Father, not one minute. And even be encouraged by the gospel every day, that we are indeed saved and that we have a place in heaven, that someday we will see that glory. And it was all achieved because of Jesus died upon the cross for our sins. Dear Father, we pray that if there was someone in this congregation that have not accepted the call, dear Father, the call to repent, to believe in Him, to follow Him, to be reconciled with God, I pray, dear Father, that they won't go by another day, dear Father, that they will consider it strongly to think, because we never know when this world will be ending. We may make plans, dear Father, that we think that it will last another 5 years, 10 years, or maybe it will last our lifetimes. We don't know that. But it may end 5 seconds from now or 1 hour from now, we don't know, dear Father. So we pray, dear Father, that the gospel message would continue to reach out to people, dear Father, while there's time. I pray, dear Father, that many Christians out there sharing the good news of Christ, the gospel, I pray that they will be encouraged, that they are doing what God is wanting them to do. Oftentimes, dear Father, we do not know our quote-unquote calling of what we're supposed to do. But dear Father, we certainly know that we can be of help to someone, encouragement to someone, dear Father, regardless of what we're doing in life and what we are doing at the moment, dear Father, we can be used. So I certainly pray that each one of us would think beyond ourselves, think with eternal perspective, and think what God could do through us, dear Father, and what He would want us to do. And dear Father, through that we learn who You are, and that is one of the greatest privileges living here on this earth, that we may not comprehend fully. We just know just enough that You want us to know. But yet that is so special and such precious, more valuable than gold, dear Father, as the Scripture says. So I certainly pray, dear Father, that we do not put our Savior and our salvation on the side and go about our day, but we put that in the center of our lives and draw from it every day. Dear Father, we pray as we open the New Testament that You would guide us, dear Father, and help us to understand and help us to worship You with all our hearts. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read from Book of Romans, chapter 5. I was told that this Indianapolis congregation, you're going through Book of Romans, and so this probably is already somewhat of a review, and you have it might be a little fresh in your mind. So I guess I won't really talk too much about the background or chapter 5 as I read from few verses in the beginning that what was discussed before that point. I'll read from verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I will stop there. I only have 10 more minutes. I spend too much time in the Old Testament. In Japan, we have about 1 hour to preach. I'm not pacing myself well here. This is actually, Romans 5, this portion is actually one of my favorites. When I started repenting 19 years ago, I think, back in 99, this was one of the first sections that kind of made sense to me. I thought it made sense to me. And as I read over the years, I realized that I didn't really quite understand the great magnitude of these words. It starts with, therefore, being justified by faith. And the word therefore, you know, we always want to read why. There was something before that, and then therefore, right? So we want to know about what's written before. But it's basically talking about the gospel. And through believing, we are given well, I guess the word it used here is imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. By believing in him. By believing in him. That. It talks about that portion. So therefore, right, being justified by faith, believing in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. I hope each one of us here have peace with God. I pray. If you do not, then it's a good time to think upon Jesus. Because it's not because what we do, what we have accomplished, how righteous we are, no. As a matter of fact, the recognition of our imperfection, that we come short of God's glory, that allows us to even put our framework to think of, like, why would we want Jesus? So I pray that if you feel that you don't have peace with God, then confess your sins and accept Jesus. Because that's the only way you'll have peace with God. No other way. You cannot just come to church and act like you're one of us, one of everyone, and then say, yeah, I'm acting like them, I'm talking like them, so I should be like them. I should have peace like them. No, it doesn't work that way. I pray that each one of us individually have peace with God. Anyway, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we rejoice every day that Christ died upon the cross for our sins. Do we rejoice that every day? Every day. No matter what is happening in our household, in a workplace, or school, do we rejoice that every day? Because without this, I mean, everything is tangible. Everything can change. It's so temporal. The world changes every day. Situation changes every day. Your relationship changes every day. It's hard to stay thankful sometimes. But when we focus every day, the fact that Christ died for our sins, to know that we have a place in heaven, that always resets us every morning, every day. It resets us. I pray that that's something we all do, to recognize how blessed we are, that we are walking in, standing in His grace. So we rejoice in that very fact that Jesus died upon the cross for our sins. We have that hope. And then from verse 3 is where, when I first started repenting, I thought it was really, really touching. Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. So, we glory in tribulations, challenges, difficulties in life. And at the time I started repenting, it was just half a year into me living in the United States, and I was struggling through the language. I still do, but struggling with language and school, and I was repenting, realizing my sinfulness, and asking God for forgiveness, making restitutions, and it was so much change. It was very difficult, and therefore this word tribulation and rejoicing or glory in tribulation, it kind of touched me at that time. And knowing that tribulation worketh patience, right, I think this is something we can experience. And sort of like going through these tribulations, it makes us have patience. Like, things don't necessarily happen tomorrow. It doesn't solve that moment. It may take longer time. It may take longer time to understand. Right? So, you gain more patience going through the tribulation. And then this whole transition, your patience and experience. Okay, so patience and experience. So experience, from what I understand, is practice. You do it, go through over and over. So you have this patience, you have these trials, you're going through it, you're enduring, and by doing that, you gain this experience. Following is a portion that I didn't understand until recent. And experience, hope. How does experience translate it into hope? That was the portion that didn't really make sense to me at the time. But I like the transition, right? You're going through all these things, but how does that translate into hope? I think you're going to go through experience and sort of say, like, yeah, I've been through this. I know how to overcome this. But how does that translate into hope? Because one trial could lead another trial to another trial. And it's like, more trials, yeah, okay, maybe I can go through this trial, but that doesn't necessarily mean hope to me. And so, it took me a long time, until recent, how that transition makes sense. And kind of going back to Gideon, he really didn't know he could be the leader there. And God kind of stepped him through, or gave him opportunity, or not necessarily gave him, he commanded him to go through these opportunities and see how God worked. And I didn't quite understand, because I thought fighting battle and going through these difficult moments were about me getting through it. And it took me until I sort of understood that God is actually fighting for me. I didn't understand till he sort of made it very clear that it wasn't your battle, but it was his. I was just happened to be living through it. And through these experiences, walking in your faith, you start to see how God works in your life. You start to see how God loves you. And maybe it's not really clear here. I pray that as we go through life, that we recognize every day that God is in us. He's literally in us, in our hearts, and going through your daily walk with you. And when we are able to really adapt that, then we see that the end is in heaven. We know that God is working through this, and one day we'll be in heaven. It increases, maybe it's about increasing your, strengthening your faith. Right? Gideon was very doubtful. I'm a very doubtful person. I'm somewhat of a skeptic. Is that really? Are you sure? Is that really? You know, I do that often. And often I feel like I have to take things on my own, not exactly allowing God to work through the situation. So, I think as we walk in our own walk of faith, then we start to see how God works in our lives. And it's not something that's easy to explain. I think it has to be experienced, as it's written here. Patience experience. You experience God's grace, and we experience how God works in our lives, and things start to sort of make more sense in this whole transition of like experience and hope. That's because you realize that God is with you always. And it's something that we believe in, but to really experience it, I think sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it takes these trials to understand more. And I think that is why we glory in trials, because it allows us to understand and appreciate and accept that God is with us, and He walks with us every day. You know, I was thinking, I when I wake up, sometimes I don't sleep well, and I sometimes have back pains, and I see in the mirror, and I'm starting to see gray hair here and there. And I was thinking, getting old, I'm realizing this whole getting old thing, right? I'm 37, I have, you know, now I have 3 kids, and I'm starting to realize that this is what it's like to be getting old, you know? And I don't want to make light of that whole getting old thing, but I realize I'm getting old. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, I don't know how many years I have on this earth, but I can think this is going to get worse as it goes, you know? Like, I keep running, and I get on the scale. I can't lose weight like I used to. You know, and my health numbers I go through every year, and they're declining. And I used to have like all A's, and you know, like I thought I was a healthy person. And it's starting to like see B's and C's and check again kind of stuff. And you start to realize, okay, I see why old people talk about, older people talk about which medication you're taking, all that kind of stuff. And it totally makes sense to me. I see why you do that, right? Because that it becomes a bigger issue in your life and something you didn't think about before. And so I was thinking like, man, this getting old thing is not really great. Like I love seeing my kids growing up and all that stuff, but I wish I didn't have to age, you know? I wish I didn't get older and deteriorate. So if you think about those things, it's kind of depressing. But this is what I think beautiful thing about getting old, I think. And I still consider myself young, but is that this experience factor. Every trials you go through, right? Every day we live our faith, we get the experience, we have that opportunity to walk, realizing that God is with us, and understanding more who He is, and appreciating more what Christ did for you on that cross. That, I think, is the beauty of getting old. You have more time, more experiences to go through that and convert that experience into hope. In verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We can count on His love. And that hope that we have because we walk with Him. As we grow old, we continue to walk with Him, and we continue to experience, we continue to see God a little more, right, in the way that we can comprehend. That is a beautiful thing, I think. And so, although I don't look forward to, you know, the whole back pain and all these things, I do look forward to have the opportunity to know God more. I do. And that's what I look forward to, this 2017, this last day. But I pray that 2018 will be, you know, continuation of that. I pray that we'll continue to walk and allow God walk in our lives and recognize that every day, that we may know Him more. It's a wonderful place to be, I think.
That's a good word this morning. You know, as we read, I'll start at Romans, you know, and as Makoto talked, you know, his prayer was that we would all know Jesus, you know, personally, that we'd all have that peace with God, and confess our sins and believe is what he said. And, you know, and that's certainly that's where we start, and that's what we desire, is for each one of us to know Christ personally. But then the walk. And, you know, then you go to Judges, and you stay at Romans 2, talking about the walk with God, but illustrated in the book of Judges how that Gideon went through those trials and went, you know, was challenged and grew in his understanding that God was with him and God really cared about him. And, you know, and then just a and just a pause and think about that. What a great, you know, and I think that's what Sunday morning's about, is to, you know, to stop and think about that, you know, as far as even with doubts and you know, is God in this and where is God going? But to grow in that relationship, and what, you know, as we look back on 2017, you know, you see God's hand working, and then you look ahead and you say, you know, I just want to trust God, I just want to trust Him for what's ahead. And we take comfort in the fact that Gideon doubted sometimes, but you go back to God. And it causes me to think of Isaiah 6, where Isaiah says, you know, Isaiah doubted also his calling, and then he says, well, here am I, send me. And I like that thought, here am I, send me. In the year 2018, here am I, you know, send me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But I want to see God, and I want to just do His will. So, Lord, I just pray that your will be done as we look forward, and understanding there'll be doubts, but just to go to the bedrock that just as God directed Gideon, God will direct us, and that will give us a peace and experience and hope and love. Great message. Good. It's an encouraging message this morning. So let's sing a hymn together.
Looking out here trying to figure out who should pray, but I think the Holy Spirit's taken care of that. So one of you, maybe a visitor, close the morning in prayer and remember the meal in your prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you to thank you that for the at the end of this morning service, just to thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast been with us. Well, Lord, we've heard the Word and has spoken to us. We've seen, heard the story of a man who was called in a special way, Lord, for service. And we see how that he maybe doubted at first, but then he responded. Lord, we pray that we know that we have been called each in a special way, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we can also respond in a way that would honor and glorify you, Lord, that we are called, Lord, to be an example to those who are around about us to share the gospel. Give us the grace, Lord, to do that. We know that we are living in a hurting world, and there are so many people, Lord, who need you. We pray that, Lord, that we can just be that example to those we bump into, and we just need your grace every day. Lord, we thank you. As we look back, we know that this is the last day of 2017, and it's a time where we look back over the past year, but we also look forward to a new year. And we look past over this past year, Lord, and we've seen, Lord, where we've had ups and downs, Lord. We've also seen, Lord, that you've been with us the whole way. We just thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for being in our lives and for working with us, even though we've failed you many times. We thank you for being merciful and for the promises in the Word. And Lord, as we look forward to 2018, we also rely on these promises to know that whatever happens, that you will be with us. We just pray that we can rededicate our lives through this time in service to you, Lord, that we can do our best, Lord, to serve you with your help. We know that it is only by the power of Jesus that we can do anything. So we just pray that you would be with us throughout this coming day and also throughout this whole year. We pray for our government, Lord. We know that there are many decisions that they have. And we know we are living in a very divided country. But we pray that there can be revival in our land, Lord, that there can be a turning back, that hearts could be changed, and that we can be a country known as serving you, Lord. So go with us throughout this day. We thank you for the protection in the past, and we pray that you would continue to protect us and guide our conversations and our actions, that they can honor and glorify you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.